The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Welcome to Radio Today's weekly podcast. I'm Trevor Dan with a special report from those United States. If you're on the radio or you produce radio, you'll want to hear from the annual Morning Show Boot Camp, which was held recently in Chicago. Graham Mack, no stranger to morning radio himself, is your guide.
How long does a presenter get to capture a listener's attention before the listener starts to mentally tune out?
7 seconds.
That's programmer and radio consultant Tracy Johnson. I spoke to him after a session he presented here at the 27th Annual Morning Show Boot Camp in Chicago. Find out why he's so certain you've only got 7 seconds to grab them soon. Hi, I'm Graham Mack. Let's find out more about this conference from the man who put the whole thing together, Don Anthony.
Good to see you again, Graham.
It's good to see you.
You're looking well. You never change.
Why should somebody come to Morning Show Boot Camp?
To get better. I mean, I really, and also to be inspired. I've always used the 3I method: information, interaction, and inspiration, because people, at least on the talent side, are inspired by other talent. They get around other people. They have something they can relate to. People who do mornings know what it like to be a little woozy at 4 o'clock, 4 in the afternoon. So it's a little bit different for people like that because, you know, they can relate to everybody.
WPLJ's Todd Pettengill.
Yes, sir.
You were on a panel just then, Radio's Round Table. They were all programmers. What were you doing there?
I have no idea. I said, this is either the worst idea in the history of this boot camp or the best. And I'll let people decide. I have no idea.
This your first Morning Show Boot Camp?
It is.
What do you make of it?
I love it. It was great to see a lot of old friends, made some new friends. I tell you that radio is still very much alive when you come to one of these things and you see the passion.
Because I've got to say, you didn't just show up Mr. Showbiz just for your session. You were here at the ladies' session. You were here for Battle of the Bits.
No, I love it. I mean, if you're a radio fan, you know, how can you not love it? Because there's a lot of great information. And, you know, hopefully nobody ever gets too successful or too big to think they can't learn. Because that, to me, is the mistake, and that's when you go backwards.
So have you even picked up stuff to take back?
I have. I got a phone full of notes that I'll be bringing back. I swear to you, I will show to you. I wrote bits down. I was listening to people. I made notes from different speeches. Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
And how are things now on WPLJ since Scott Shannon left?
We're doing fine. You know, Scott and I are friendly. He's terrific.
You still talk?
We do occasionally. I mean, we don't talk every day, but we never talked every day. We probably talk about the same as when we worked together for 22 years. But no, it's great. He's doing great, we're doing great, and the globe continues to spin.
I'm with broadcasting legend BJ Shea. How long have you been in Seattle now?
15 years.
Wow.
And Graham, I mean, when I came to this convention, it's 27 years old, really for the first almost 12 years of it, I was always out of a job every other year. That was the running joke. It's like, BJ, are you still? Oh, no, you're out of a job. Every other year I'd have a job, and then I'd be out of a job. They still ask me. They still figure, so you working?
That's good.
And it's been 15 years that I've actually been in the same place.
In that session, you are an inspiration, and you continue to be for a lot of people. No, but when you told your story, you're so open with your story and your life story and how it was very, very tough for you. If someone's listening to this and they are struggling in their career, what advice would you give them?
I always want to find people who are nice. I've always said that if somebody tells you not to do something artistic and not to pursue your artistic dreams, I say, those people, why are you? You'll know quicker than anybody if it's not right for you. You'll get bored. You'll stop. We all did that. I was going to be an astronaut. And then they said, oh, well, you have to actually go in space. Oh, I don't want to do that. I wanted to be a baseball player. Well, you're going to have to go to the gym. Well, I don't want to do that. I will crush my own dreams quicker than anybody needs to. So I've never understood if somebody comes up to you and they go, what I want to do is I want to do what you do, or I want to be this. And I've never understood a person go, don't do it. Get out of there. I avoid those people. If somebody tells you not to do your artistic dream, don't listen to what they have to say. Because anybody who's worth their salt, they'll go, dude, I hope it's awesome. Because it's so much fun. And you do what you love to do. If you can make a little bit of a living or something, awesome. That's what I say to everybody. Who am I to tell somebody that their dream isn't going to come true? I don't know. But I don't listen to anybody that says dreams don't come true. I get you have to be a realist, but you'll figure that out yourself. It's like, I don't need to tell you what you'll figure out. As a matter of fact, it's rather arrogant for me to go, oh, yeah, you don't want to do that. How do I know? I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. I'm lucky I can feed myself properly in the morning. you know. And what's the point of being a dream crusher? The biggest sadness is if somebody really would have been good at something and someone discouraged them out of that. That's sad. And I think that people can figure out if it's not right. They need support to know when it is right. People do that for me. I asked. I thought, I think I need to leave this business. I don't think I'm that good. But I thought, I'm going to ask professionals.
So who did you ask?
I asked Tom Likas, who a very, very successful talk show host here in the States, very controversial, massively intelligent, but would say a lot of inappropriate things to as far as the feminine community was concerned. But he was a brilliant broadcaster. So I thought, all right, he's not going to pull any punches. And I went up to him and I said, hey, Tom, look, you need to tell me. I'm not doing well. Should I get out of this business? And he just looked at me and said, let me tell you something, BJ. The only mistake you've ever made in your career is you were an idiot before you got ratings. What you have to do is get ratings, then be an idiot, because then you're safe. Because that's the only thing you've done wrong. You're an idiot. Idiots have a place in our business. You just have to get ratings first.
We are the Gene and Julie Show. I'm Gene. She's Julie.
Hey there. We're at WRAL in Raleigh.
How's it going?
Good. We're really grateful. We've been nominated for a Marconi Award this year. So thank you, NAB.
Fantastic. Now, the unusual thing that isn't unusual to you at all is that you're a married couple.
We're married and we work together.
So what happened first, the relationship or the show?
It kind of happened simultaneously. Julie threw herself at me, and I received that, and we became a couple as we were becoming a show. It all happened at the same time.
We grew up in Seattle, loved Seattle radio. I was a traffic reporter, and Gene was on two different stations, one of which I was his traffic reporter, but we were working from different cities, so we never met in person. So he came to visit. We met in person. We said, let's do a morning show together. That'd be really fun. So his program director at the time was Eric Logan, who now runs Oprah's Harpo Productions. He's president of Harpo. He's amazing. He was the PD at Young Country in Seattle. He said, all right, you guys, I'll let you do an air shift from midnight till 3. That way we can make an air check, but we couldn't hurt the radio station. And while we were putting it all together, we realized we also had chemistry, and we weren't really quite sure, is this the stupidest thing we've ever thought of, or is this going to be a runaway fun career? And it's worked.
So one of the first dates I took her on was to meet my therapist. To see what my therapist thought of me running away with this woman who threw herself at me. And knowing nothing about her, moving away to another city where I didn't know anybody, and we would have to pool all of our resources and live together. Like, we would have to start basically at a married couple.
Yeah.
We had to live together, we had to share the money, we had to become everything at once.
And run a business together, which we didn't know how to do yet because we'd never worked together before. So it was really crazy. And yes, we really did go to his therapist and she was awesome.
Or we had to choose door number two, which was not to work together.
Yeah.
And the therapist said, you guys are either all or nothing. If you're gonna work together, there's no way you're not gonna be romantic. So you're gonna need to make a choice. So we decided if we're going to put all of our eggs into one basket, instead of being afraid of what might happen to the eggs, we became excited about ways we could reinforce the basket. So then we wouldn't worry.
It's been really fun. We've been lucky. I mean, certainly we have fights. Ask our producer, Casey. We fight during the show all the time. And we're
Does that make it onto the air?
We need to do a better job of that, actually. I think that would be more entertaining.
You need to fight more on the air. Seriously?
We actually had two weird things happen in our career. One program director asked us if we would go through a divorce because it would be good for the fall book. I kid you not. Second weird thing, in one of our employment contracts, our company put in a divorce clause on what would happen to our contract if we got a divorce.
So you were forced, it was a forced marriage by then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it was. Yes.
So we definitely worked it out.
You ever used that when you were fighting? You know, if it wasn't for this clause.
I don't know, somehow we managed to work it out. So I think at this point we're in good shape. We've been together since 1995. So we're into our 20th year as broadcasters together.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for talking to me. Continued success with the marriage and the show.
Thank you, Graham.
And good luck on the award.
Thank you. And hopefully we'll have you on our show again soon talking about something fun in the UK.
Thank you.
Thanks, Graham.
The highlight of this year's Morning Show Bootcamp was Jonathan Brandmeier.
It was.
Nationally syndicated personality,
that
Jonathan
seems
Brandmeier.
Odd.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to meet you. I got to say, I'm a fan. I listen to your podcast every day. You are in my hand and on demand.
Yeah, in your hand and on demand. That's nice to hear, I think.
I've listened to you streaming for years. I've got to say, you've never sounded better than right now.
That's interesting.
Never sounded better.
Wow, thank you.
You've done some good stuff. I loved the bit where you had the two old guys that were claiming to be the guys that kissed the nurse in Times Square after the Second World War.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
There was another piece you did with some kids with bodily functions and stuff, and I don't know if you remember all these bits.
Yeah, I don't.
But right now, this show is... I said to my wife, I said, I've got this new podcast. It's Jonathan Bramwell. He's back on in Chicago. And I said, she said, what's he like? I said, he's on fire. What is
that
the difference?
That is so interesting for you.
It's
to
true.
Say, you've just
it's
made
true.
My day. You've it, just made my
Johnny,
day.
Johnny, I listen to you before I go on
because I feel everywhere. That in my, I feel in my heart. I go like, this is just, I think sometimes you just don't care anymore. I'm just so jacked
what
up.
What is it? Why is this show, why are you, after all these years, everything you've been through, why is this show sounding so good? What
I
is
really,
it? What's the secret?
I really don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to figure this out myself now, Dr. Graham. Maybe it's because I'm, you know, syndicated, or I know that, I mean, I'm getting letters from people and I say, I'm listening to you in Guam or Alaska, and I'm thinking, wow, because to me, that's what it's all about. The fact that these people are hearing it and they're touched by it, and the lady goes, I'm driving at midnight in Vegas and don't leave because I just love having you in my car. I'm driving my Kia. She said this, and I just love having you. So maybe that's it, Graham. I think maybe that's it.
Something I was worried about when you went national is how you're going to do it, because you are a Chicago personality.
Yeah, they always thought that, yeah.
But this show is still very Chicago. I mean, you did a big piece when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup.
Well, it is, Stanley Cup, it's a national thing, so you can, it's not too much. I'm not going to go on and talk about the Cubs every day, but I think I know when we're going too far Chicago or too far. I know. I got.
So it is measured then? It isn't like... You're
I'm
not
thinking
just...
about it. I think about it. I don't want to push... Listen, you're listening in Dallas or Billings, Montana, and you, or especially like the Cardinals fan listening in St. Louis to me, they don't give a rat's ass about the Cubs, or, you know what I mean, or the Chicago Bears. So I'm just well aware. When it's a national show, a national sporting event, who doesn't care? Everybody cares, one way or the other.
Now, I've noticed from listening to you, and I don't know if anyone else would say this, but what I hear enthusiasm, and above all, I hear love. I hear a love of life that comes from Jonathan Brandmeier. Where does that come from?
My mother. When my mother heard me coming out of the radio on WGN radio here in Chicago, and she said, and she's in her fifth final stage of Alzheimer's disease. You have to understand, this is the last 3 weeks of her life. And she's driving to a doctor's appointment, and my brother says to her, Mom, this is Johnny coming out of the radio. And she doesn't respond. Mom, this is Johnny. And my mom snapped. It's not Johnny. He's not having fun. This is not John. And Michael told me the story. I said, she's that 1,000% right. Who would know their son better than my mother all those years? She knows by my tone that I'm faking it. I'm not having fun. And when I saw her, we watched her pass away in the room. And it was, anyone going through this Alzheimer's, it's the most horrible thing you will ever go through in your entire life, to watch your mother disappear. But when she said, that's what she left me with. God bless you, Hanky. He left me with that. And so there's my love of life. That's where that comes from. And if you are really something that you pick up on this stuff. Yeah, you're really something. I mean, you have a really intuition. It's very interesting.
What makes me wonder is, though, when you came through, when you really broke through on the loop, that was at a time when shock was starting to get there. Howard Stern was at DC 101, or probably just at WNBC at that stage.
Yeah.
Greaseman was a bit edgy. It was starting to get... Were you ever tempted to take it that way because that was the trend?
Never. Impossible. I would never do it. I would never... And I even talked to Stern about this. Stern would say to me, he'd say, Johnny B on a leash. Johnny B's my bitch. Johnny B's this. And I just told him, I just thought that was just entertaining, but I would never listen to it. People would tell me he said it. I would never... I have one thing, and anyone that knows me, who's ever worked with me, knows one thing. I focus. I go to work, I focus. Focus, focus. I say, find the story, focus, and follow up. Just go, go, go. Go to work, work hard, play hard. And I would never, it wouldn't be, people would know that's not me. I'll tell you something right now, man. We're going to get a girl in here, we're going to smell her ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that, because that would just, my, first of all, I have my mother in the back of my head, six kids, Catholic upbringing, 12 years of Catholic school. I have my mother, you're not smelling a woman's ass. You know what I mean? It's like, you know. I couldn't do it. It's just, it's not true to me. Not true to me.
you still do the music?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I don't. The band hasn't played in a while, but I still write music, play music, and we'll probably get the band up again for sure. Yeah, I love doing it.
Jonathan Brandmeier, if we want to listen to you, how do we do it anywhere in the world?
Brandmeiershow.com, BrandmeierShow.com, or as John Cleese says, Jonathan Brandmeier, Brandmeier, Brandmeiershow.com, and then just give us your email. We'll put the podcast right in there, in your email every day. And you just click it and it's there. Free, doesn't cost anything. And it's all, no commercials, no interruptions. Boom, you got it. Appreciate it, man. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Continued success.
You're the man. You're the man. What a pleasure.
So back to Tracy Johnson now, who says that presenters only get 7 seconds to engage with a listener before the listener starts to mentally tune out. This is based on research he's been involved with. And I asked him to tell us more about it.
It's based on about 5 years of intense research projects that my company conducted along with Strategic Radio Solutions, who are our partners in this project, that we're analyzing listeners' moment-by-moment response to personality-based content. The average adult attention span is 8 seconds. They have 8 seconds of tolerance. So if we don't get into that brain space and capture their attention in the first 7 seconds, it's not that they physically tune out, but they mentally tune out. And once they mentally tune out, it's much harder to regain that attention.
Most radio stations, those 7 seconds are spent with the dial position, the station ID, the time, the back announcement. Are most radio stations doing it wrong?
Yes.
Tracy Johnson. Well, that's it from Morning Show Boot Camp 2015 in Chicago. I'm Graham Mack. I hope I've managed to keep your attention for longer than 7 seconds. You want to find out more about me? You can do that at macmedia.co.uk.
Thank you, Graham. Catch him on Bob FM Breakfast in Hertfordshire. And next week right here, meet Roger Cutsforth, the new MD of the Radio Academy. Meanwhile, in your hand and on demand, as we now say, David Lloyd's Radio Moments, and first, Roy Martin with this week's news.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
More DAB services have started broadcasting recently in the Solent and Brighton areas thanks to the new small-scale DAB test services, or mini-muxes as they have become known. More will be launched, in fact all 10 of them will be on the air by the end of September. Talking of the Solent, Alex Dyke has been suspended from his daily radio show on BBC Radio Solent. He was voicing his opinion on breastfeeding in public, as radio presenters do, but not everybody agreed with him, so he was taken off the air, naturally. And there are more major changes to management at Bower City stations in the north of England and in Scotland, including a few people who have suddenly left the company. More details on this story and many more on radiotoday.co.uk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, NewsBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Most stations used to simulcast the same programmes on AM and FM, a little like we do on FM and DAB now. This week in 1990, Radio 2 at last said farewell to its medium wave frequencies, ready to hand them over to the new Radio 5.
Hello, this is Desmond Carrington, and if you're wondering where Radio 2 all-time greats has got to, well, we're on FM only from now on.
If you want to hear your Radio 2 favourites, then join us now by switching to the FM waveband. You'll find that we're the first station on the dial. We're between 88 and 91 FM.
1990. And another new BBC service took its first loud breath this week, 13 years ago.
I'm DJ Femme Fatale.
My name's L Double, and I will be dropping the drum and bass on One Extra.
I'm Casey. I'm going to be doing the breakfast show.
What's going to make this station unique are the people running it and the people working for it. They're all 100% dedicated to music. They're lovers of the music.
I love you.
And in 5 years' time...
I think we'll be major players in the field of black music in the UK, if not the player in the field.
The start of One Extra in the morning of the 16th of August 2002. And that date, the 16th of August, is sealed in the minds of many music fans.
Radio Luxembourg!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Prince. 15 minutes ago, I walked into the studio here in Luxembourg, and Mark Wesley imported the news on me that the Daily Mirror had confirmed to him that Elvis Presley has died in the United States of America. This radio station was the first radio station in Europe to ever feature the man and his music.
Radio responding to the death of Elvis this week in 1977. It's 20 years this week since we lost Alan Dell.
Let us just point out here that we over here have produced our own indigenous rock and roll with instinctive humor. Indeed, may we bring you, and to your attention, if you've not already heard it, this record by Gail Warning and the Weathermen of Met Rock.
Alan Dell, who died this week in 1995, he'd been one of the earliest chart presenters and an inspiration for John Peel, too. On the 15th of August 1967, Radio Caroline famously continued despite the new anti-pirate laws.
And as we enter this new phase in our broadcasting history, you naturally have our assurance that we intend to stay on the air because we belong to you and we love you.
Well, they tried, but the forces of government and the weather defeated the ship. But this same week in 83, Caroline returned on a new vessel.
Caroline on 319. And we started off with the Zombies. She's not there. The Yardbirds followed with A Heart Full of Soul. And then Scott Walker and Jackie. The Who, Bubba O'Reilly finished us off. And in between those, Julie Driscoll and A Road to Cairo. This is Caroline on 319.
Radio Caroline this week in 83 at the start of her final voyage. And hark at that generator too. Years ago, cigarette advertising was allowed on radio. And this week in 1968, one of the most famous ad campaigns launched. It was made by Leo Burnett. It was hailed by David Ogilvy as part of the best ad campaign ever.
Everywhere in the USA, from Philadelphia to San Francisco Bay, getting bigger all over this great big land, the big flavored Marlboro brand.
Come to Marlboro country.
Of course, we didn't hear too many cigarette ads on British radio because there was so little commercial radio over here back then, but we did hear them beamed in on stations like Radio Luxembourg.
Reach for the wide, exciting world of Peter Stuyvesant. Rich, choice tobaccos in king's size. Peter Stuyvesant, youngest of the world brands and smoothest by far.
Light up a Richmond.
Richmond, just 4 and 3 for 20. Remember that next time you buy cigarettes.
Oh, I shall. Farewell, cigarette advertising on broadcast media. It was banned here in 1965. This week in 1920, in Detroit, a station called 8MK began. It was owned by a newspaper, and it was the world's first licensed commercial radio station. After a couple of weeks, it became the first station to broadcast news as well. 95 years later, that station's still on air.
That's traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 8s.
News, traffic, weather, News Radio 950, WWJ, a CBS radio station.
And good evening. I'm Stephanie Davis, and these are the top stories coming up on Detroit's only all-news radio station.
Happy birthday, Stephanie. Happy 95th birthday, 8MK, now WWJ News Radio 950. So, with John Humphreys celebrating his 72nd birthday...
The phrase can of beans comes to mind.
The first syndication of Howard Stern's show in the States 30 years ago...
What if I moved to Sirius Satellite Radio and rebuilt... Radio.
Simon Bates quitting Classic for Smooth 5 years ago.
And then the fears came true. 3 days into the honeymoon, Chris collapsed.
The death of ultimate deep voiceover man Bill Mitchell 18 years ago.
Spreading sunshine on 303.
Everybody had one of his jingles. And the announcement that Mark Goodyear was to leave Radio 1 13 years ago.
There have been certain things going on at Radio 1 in the last few years. And they've been very good, really.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
And we love it.
Thank you, David Lloyd, Roy Martin, and especially Graham Mack. And hello and congratulations this week to Larry Gifford from The Radio Stuff, who's just taken on a new role as the official groover from Vancouver. I hope he has time to keep up his podcast. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening. Roger from the Radio Academy next time. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with broadcast by Onyx.